You may say so, provided that we know that karma is not fully understood except in reference to svabhava. It is incomplete but becomes complete when you know it as a part and movement of svabhava. In svabhava there is perfection. In karma there may be imperfection. But that imperfection can become fulfilled when svabhava begins to flow into it.
When we talk of karma, we mean that karma which binds and which doesn't bind. It includes both.
Karma which is?
Which binds and which doesn't bind you. Both are included when we talk of karma.
The karma which is a movement of svabhava does not bind you. It is visargaha, it is a flow. The bondage comes in when that same karma begins to flow in apara prakriti. As long as it moves in para prakriti, karma does not bind you. Na karma lipyate nare. The karma does not bind you when that karma is simply visarga of svabhava. Karma is called a movement of svabhava when it results in a specific good or article or product. Bhuta bhava. Sri Krishna explains it. Bhuta bhava udbhava karaha visargaha karma. Karma is that subordinate movement of svabhava which ultimately produces and results in bhuta, it becomes an object. Karma is that which takes you to the result. Karma is that which takes you to the fruit. Therefore, karma and phala are closely connected. Every karma is a phala. Karma is that which leads you to phala. Automatically, you cannot avoid it. Every karma has a phala. It is bhuta bhava. Automatically it results in a form. It will take a shape.
So this karma is
yes.
Related to that shloka, na kartrutvam na karmani.
Correct.
That's right. Sakarma prasanyoga, svabhavastu
pravartate. That's right. Correct.
Exactly.
Precisely. You have got exactly the right reference. She is asking which chapter is it? You find out and tell them next time. But this is exactly the reference. Sri Krishna himself says, I am the doer of actions, but nothing touches me. I am still a karta. In para prakriti, there is all svabhava and all movement of karma, all results, all fruits come out. And yet all of them proceed from Aksharam Brahma Paramam. They all proceed from Akshara.
I think it is 13 chapter.
Therefore, in Akshara, there is you become completely devoid of any kind of attachment. Na karma lipyate nare. Nothing attaches you. It is like Jada Kamalavat. It is an outflow, visarga. But inwardly, it remains completely dry. Aksharam. It is immobile. Now let us continue further. Although I am taking more time today, but I will finish this sentence. Adibhutam ksharo bhavaha. Now, karma is that which leads you to bhuta, to the products. Products themselves, aksharo bhava. All the creatures, all the objects, these particular pieces are all bhuta. They are all results of karma. Karma of a shaping, karma according to the form. But ultimately, all karma ultimately leads you to adhibhutam. You can see the logical order. From immobile comes svabhava, which is adhyatma. From adhyatma, from svabhava comes karma. Karma leads to the results and fruits. Fruits are called adhibhutam, sharobhavaha. They are all in mobility. One general characteristic of all bhutas are that they are all mobile. Exactly the opposite of immobile. Brahma is aksharam, but all bhutas are ksharobhavaha. They are all kshara. In that you will not be able to find any akshara. They are constantly moving. But what you see as results is preceded by something that is invisible. These are all visible objects, bhuta, ultimate results, ultimate fruits. But before they are arrived at, there is an intermediate stage. Adhibhuta is the objective reality, that which is before our eyes, that which we can see as shaped objects. But all the shaped objects are shaped. And who shapes? Karma is the visarga, is the movement. Adhibhuta is a shape. But who shapes? There is adhidevatam, that which shapes, are the cosmic energies. They are called gods in the name, in the language of the Veda. There are cosmic energies. And these cosmic energies begin to act in the form of will, in the form of intelligence, in the form of sense.